So how was everybody's week? Challenging? Blessed? You know, the last time we were here, we were telling you that some of you that we were planning to go back to Vegas the long way around the lake, North Shore, whatever it's called, the North Shore Drive. I forgot to look at my gas. I was down to 3 bars, and by the time the third one disappeared, the little light came on, like beep, low fuel. And I'm thinking, oh no, our Overton Family Church is going to find 2 little skeletons in a little Honda somewhere halfway between here and Lake Las Vegas. But Jana did something amazing. She said, "Did you just see that sign that said Marina and Gas?" And I said, "No, babe, I didn't see anything." You know, some of those signs are really like sun weathered. She said, "Well, I just saw one." And I said, "Lord bless you." we turned around and we went to that little marina. I forgot what it's called, Echo Bay or something like that. Thank God there was a little gas station. Have you been there? That little marina? Well, it saved us. So that was great. And I'm thankful Jana mentioned it before we passed it too far. Because one time we were out in Cedar City and we were on our way up to Bryan Head. And once we got up there, they had the roads closed. And she said, "Well, didn't you see that sign about 10 miles back that said road closed?" I go, "No, baby, I didn't, but I think you did." So I was grateful she told me that we passed the gas station within a mile of passing it. But anyways, this morning, it's good to be in the house of God. Hallelujah. Today, we are going to look in the book of Luke. If you could prepare your Bibles for Luke 10. We're going to look at verse 38 through 42. Oh, praise the Lord. And in Luke 10, 38, I thought this was interesting because it says in my Bible, at the home of Martha and Mary. Jesus coming to the home of Martha and Mary. This weekend, I have a lot of family in town who are staying with us. Grandmas, grandpas, brothers, sisters, uncles, all this stuff going on because our son graduated. So our house is getting some good use. And in fact, my daughter said, "Wow, the floors are filthy, Dad." And then my mother said, "Well, don't worry, we're going to take care of everything before we leave Sunday morning. It's going to be nice and perfect." But you know what I thought? It doesn't have to be perfect. We're just happy to see family. We're just happy to have the house in use. We're just happy to be able to spend time together, because sometimes spending time together is such a blessing and a gift. Amen? Amen. So in this case, Jesus is coming to the house of Martha and Mary. Now let me ask you, how freaked out would you be if I told you this afternoon Jesus is coming to your house? Are you prepared? What's the house look like? Is Jesus OCD? Is he going to go, "Oh my goodness, clutter, this"? I mean, when you think about it, if you thought Jesus was coming to your house, it could be one of those moments where you might not feel prepared. So let's see how the ladies reacted, because we have Martha and we have Mary. One of them was worried beyond belief. Have you been there? The other one was so chill that it made Martha go, "Wait a minute, excuse me, there's so much to think and worry about right now. How could you be so calm?" Have you ever thought that about somebody? This is not the moment to be calm. So let's go ahead and read here this morning, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, why don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you that We are so interested to find out the dynamics of this day, the blessings that were locked and hidden in this day, and the challenges that were locked and hidden in this day, so that we can learn that it's good to connect with you and throw everything else to the side. Hallelujah. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when I thought about it in our current day, our current terms, how many of you might entertain Facebook type stuff? Anybody here? You have your little profile, your photos, and you do this, you do that, and people hear about it, and they make their little comments, and on and on and on, and they get their little thumbs up, their little hearts, they do all these things. Well, I would tell you, when it came, I log in like maybe twice a year. It's not my thing. My wife set it up for me and put some family photos and on that. I think for the most part, it seems as though friends from high school and childhood friends, they can connect with each other and see, you know, photos of all of our families and all that good stuff. And sometimes they reach out. I never know until I log in like 6 months later. But I would say I do remember that there's this thing that happens when you do log in. It immediately sends an alert to my phone. Someone just logged into your account from Las Vegas, Nevada. Someone just logged into your account from a new... have you ever seen that prompt? Someone had logged in, but this thing is keeping track of how many times I log into it, the location from where I logged into it, and all of these things. And it also has this moment that shows like kind of like my top friends. You might know more than me because Jan is better at this than I am. But it'll show you all of the top people that you kind of stay in contact with and that you reach out to. So Jan and I were talking about it, and we began to think, do we spend as much time with Jesus as we do logging in to some of these platforms? And if we did log in, would Jesus be at the top of my activity list? Or would he be somewhere kind of in the middle? Or would he somewhere kind of be below that? Or would he somewhat kind of be at the bottom of those that I'm in contact with most? Would me logging in to spending time with Jesus show up on my phone and say, you logged in again, good job. You're spending time with the Lord. You're spending time in worship. Have you been logging in with your Maker lately? Isn't that a good way to put it in this modern world? Truly, we want to make sure, like right now, for example, and I don't mean to make it sound so much like a job, but my daughter, on my phone, I have this thing called Road Ready. She's supposed to book 50 hours of driving time before she takes her test next week to get her license. Am I logging in with Jesus and spending time with him? If I were to look at my relationship with Christ, could I do a better job spending time with him, connecting with him, reading more of his word, spending more time in prayer? Just like Mary, at his feet in prayer? Because truly, life can get way too busy, and we can get too busy if we are not careful. Amen? We have to remember that we are here, and not to have so many things competing against the attention of where we should be focusing. Martha and Mary. Who are we going to connect more with here? Martha or Mary? If it's one of those moments or one of those weeks. Anybody have a tough week? So many things to take your attention from? Well, I'll tell you, if we're not careful, sometimes we can forget to log into spending time with Jesus. Amen? Or we can forget to worship. We can forget time with him. In any given moment, when I thought about it this week, I jotted down some things. I have a wife to love this week. I have kids that I have to spend time with. I have to make sure I'm active in their life. I have to finish my sermon. By the way, Jana doesn't own the circuit on the Habakkuk sermons. You know, she's been doing a lot of Habakkuk sermons, so I'm working on my own, and it's called the Habakkuk Games because I'm ready to get some Habakkuk time in. You know, that's what she's been preaching a lot about. Mine's coming. I don't want her to own Habakkuk, so I'm gonna try to get one in there. I have books to read. Did you buy a book for this summer? Anybody? Where are my readers? There. Amen. And then I have papers to write. I have trainings I have to do at work. There's so many things I have to deal with. Sales that I need to book. Before you know it, if I'm not careful, I'm thinking about everything else but Jesus. Isn't that terrible? So I know how Martha felt, though. Life is heavy. There are things to do. There's so much that can weigh us down. And what does Jesus say? Martha. But he didn't stop with one Martha. Did he? Martha. Martha. This is almost like the Brady Bunch. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. You know something's going on when your name is repeated. And in this case, the Lord said, Martha, Martha, you are, he called it out, worried. And not only that, but I sense you are also upset. Have you been around anybody upset this week? They're not fun to be around sometimes, are they? You're like, all right, take a little break from that. I was quiet in the car when we were driving here, and Jana said, you okay? But you know what I appreciated about that? She's checking in. Isn't that cool? But he says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and you're upset about many things. And I have to tell you today, we don't want to live like a Martha. Amen? We don't want to be weighed down by worried, weighed down by being upset. We can choose to live a merry life, hallelujah, and spend time with Jesus as our first and foremost important thing to do. So don't live a life where Jesus wouldn't be at the very top of your friends list, amen? Number one, hallelujah. Before we write and check in with anybody else, I began to think about this little table my kids had from IKEA. Do you ever go there in Vegas, that big IKEA store? Have you been there? It's all this plastic furniture for the kids. But when they were little, they had this big plastic table, and it had three legs because you need three legs to keep this table up. You couldn't have two or it would fall over. You couldn't have one because it wasn't set up that way. Fall over again. But I began to think, have you ever had this thought too? If I were to pass away right now, would I be in God's family? Have you ever had that thought? So that means we want to know that we have assurance that we are found, almost like how the, let's say, like the cellular companies would say, we are in the network, amen? We're in the family. If we're logging in, we want to make sure we're in the community, amen? So when this table happens to be in my kids' little kitchen when they were small, I began to think, if you want that assurance, like the top of the table is assurance, what are the legs that hold up that assurance? And you know what I came up with when I looked at Martha and Mary? One, belief. You have to believe in who Jesus is, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Two, you have to love Him. Amen? We have to love Jesus so much that we love Him more than our favorite sins. Amen? You have favorite sins? You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. You have to love Jesus more than those. And you have to love Him first and foremost over everything. And not only that, we have to obey Him. Amen. What the Lord says, we put into action. We put into place. Belief, love, obedience gives us assurance in God's community. Accepting Him as Lord and Savior. And we also want to remember that the authentic Christian life that we're living is authentic. Amen. You know how many fake Rolexes I've seen? They're not really Rolexes. You know how many I've seen in my life? And you know what clients always ask me? How did you know this one is not real? Isn't that an interesting question? How do you know? And when you spend time with someone, you just know, amen? When you spend time with something, you just know. And I said, well, just wait until your arm turns green, and then come ask me later. But I'll tell you one thing. We want to live an authentic Christian life. Hallelujah. Mary's simple reaction points truly to the way to assurance. One, she was believing who Jesus said He is. Two, she was learning to be obedient to what Jesus has called them to. And three, she was learning to love Jesus, which really began to change things in Martha's heart, which is a bummer, whether she liked it or not. So the first thing I wanted to mention this morning is this. When we look at Martha, who would you rather look at today, Martha or Mary? We'll look at both, but for the most part, I want us to take a quick look at Martha because it began to take a toll on her. Martha learned a lesson in belief. This is what Jesus came to do, is really teach her a moment in belief. And it's easy, when you think about it, to enter into daily work. Isn't it easy to get busy? It's easy to get busy in work. And that doesn't really show devotion to God unless we start the day with Him. Amen? Lord, thank you for all that we have. Thank you, Lord God. We try to handle our struggles by ourselves. We're showing him that he's not number one. Once we do, and we take ownership of the wrong mindset, guess what? That becomes baggage that was meant to be laid at the altar of Jesus and not carried by us. That's rough, isn't it? We want to make sure, truly, that we are discarding the things that keep us from a close relationship with Christ Jesus. We don't want to get overwhelmed. Who gets overwhelmed quickly? Anybody here? Getting overwhelmed quickly happens, doesn't it? But truly, we are here to believe in who Jesus says he is. He says, come to me, all of you who are heavy laden. Oh, dear Lord, let's let him have his position and put it on the Lord. Amen. Wouldn't you like to put things on somebody? I don't want to deal with it. He's ready to roll. Amen. Notice that Jesus, he didn't just like chide Martha for doing the household chores, you know. He was only asking her to do one thing. Reset your priorities. Oh, reset is a good... Have you ever seen a reset button? We need one. Wherever it is. We need a reset button. We need to take priorities and totally remake them. So truly, when you think about it, this is what Jesus is asking of Martha. Martha, Martha. Mary put Jesus first in this moment. To heck with the dishes, amen? To heck with the laundry, hallelujah. Martha put Christ second. Mary put him first. And guess what Martha start to deal with? Bitterness. Oh, bitterness. You never want bitterness to take a hold in the heart. Amen? That is not what happens because we let it in, but sometimes it just sneaks in. Amen? Oh, I'm starting to feel a little bitter here. You have to call it out and say, no, I will serve the Lord. One time I became bitter. I always look forward to family vacations. And when the kids were small, they were crazy. And I'm like, okay, let's go to the beach. We'll go to Orange County. We'll go hit Laguna Beach. We'll shoot down to Legoland. They're screaming the whole way. This one gets a rash halfway through. Now I'm looking for a Walgreens. I have to call back I have to call back to Vegas to get a prescription sent into Orange County. And I'm thinking, this whole thing is terrible. And by the way, when they're screaming in the car, I thought to myself, if I was a terrorist and they were like torturing me, all you'd have to do is put me in this car. I will confess to anything. I did it. So I have to say, and then it starts to put tension in between Jan and I. Like, what kind of vacation is this? Why do I even try to leave home? Why do I try to leave home? And guess what happened to me on that trip? I actually brought this Bible. I had such a junky trip, I didn't even open it once. I didn't log in once. And I had one of the worst family trips ever. And I could have just stayed home. But I brought this to actually open it, read it, contemplate, pray, bring it into my heart, and I ended up being just nothing but bitter that whole trip. So don't be a Martha, amen? Don't let it sneak into your life. Stay connected with Jesus. Any relationship that's going to flourish requires investment and commitment, amen? What was that song we had this morning? It was Still the Greatest Treasure Remains for Those Who Gladly Choose Jesus Now. What a treasure we have when we really have Christ in our hearts. Not just in this book, but this word in our hearts. Amen? So when we feel bitter, we think, wait a minute, what does God's word say? Bitterness is not a part of who I am. I reject it in Jesus' name, and I send it far from me. I replace it with God's peace, his strength, and his holiness. Amen? That's what we do. Any relationship, we have to invest and commit. In the case of Christ Jesus, we have to believe in who he is. He is the only salvation, amen. He is the only one that causes healing, power, holiness, strength, forgiveness. He is the light. In fact, Scripture says he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's love. Hallelujah. We need to believe in who he is. So she came to learn that day, the realization, truly, that he is the most qualified, amen, to run and love our lives. And isn't that time for us to start believing in who Jesus is? Truly believe in who He is. Our second thing to look at this morning is this. This one's funny too. Martha learned a lesson in obedience. Who here, you don't have to raise your hand. I'm all about raising hands. It's kind of funny. Who here is the one to say, you know what? I'm not the most obedient person you've ever met. Sometimes we want to be rebels, amen? Sometimes we want to do the opposite. And what happened with Martha? Anybody here all about fairness? I need things to be fair. Where's my fair group? Things have to be fair. Where are you? Have to be consistent, have to be fair. Martha had that moment where she's like, this is not fair, folks. This is not fair. I'm the one that opened up the home to Jesus. I'm the one that prepared all of the food. I'm the one that had to wash all the linens. I had to sweep the floors. I had to dust all the window seals. I'm the one that had to wash all the dishes before Jesus shows up. We can't have him having spots on the cutlery. I'm the one that had to prepare the entire house. And now, she thought she was being obedient to what she had to do to get to that point. But let me tell you, here's Mary doing what? Sitting and doing nothing. Lazy butt. Here she is at the feet of Jesus doing nothing. And Martha's like going, this is not fair. Have you ever been there? This is not fair. And listen to what Jesus said. Martha protests to Jesus to change someone else's behavior. Let's just stop right there. Have you ever prayed to the Lord to change someone else and their behavior? Because you're thinking, I'm coming up against that person, Lord, and I need you to do something. I need you to change them. Martha protested, Jesus, change her behavior. And all the time, this is the funniest thing of the Lord, it was Martha that needed to change her behavior and attitude. She was the one that needed the reset and the reorganizing. And isn't that usually the case with the Lord? I need to change myself. That's the only thing I can change. That's the only thing I can change. John, 1 John 3:24 says this, those who obey His commands live in Him, and He lives in them. But if you reverse that argument, listen to it this way. Those who do not obey are living outside of Him. Isn't that interesting? We are called to be obedient, hallelujah. Even the disciples in Matthew 8:27 said this about Jesus. What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey Him. So let me tell you this morning. May the waves and the wind never be a better obedient servant to the Lord than I am. Amen? May I be far better at obeying the Lord than just the wind that is gone tomorrow and the waves that still immediately. May I be more of an obedient person to Him. Hallelujah. Do you ever go to the Las Vegas ballpark? Have you seen it? Right there by, it's like the Aviators or minor league baseball field. Nobody? We have this cute little ballpark. I think the A's were thinking about possibly training there or something. But the last time I took Jana, in front of us were four young people. They're talking about all this crazy stuff. Partying, drinking, hookups, on and on and on. All the new parties and the rages they're going to do and on and on. All these crazy things. And I began to think, this is like the dumbest conversations I've ever heard. These people have no brains. You got to be kidding me. And I'm thinking, it's like if I sit here long enough and have to hear all this garbage, I'm just going to think these are seriously some of the biggest goofballs in this town. But then you know what? I began to think, these are exactly the people that Jesus would come sit next to and hang with. He would look at them as an opportunity to fire them up in a new direction and possibly have them as new church leaders in His movement. Hallelujah. So Lord, forgive these little goofballs in my mindset, and Lord, raise up some mighty people of God, maybe even these clowns in front of me. You never know, because you know what the truth is? I always have to stop and remember, He did it for me. And I didn't know. I didn't make it. I only made it because I'm in God's family now. That's the only thing I have. Does it matter what I do professionally? Does it matter all these things? It matters that I'm found in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the one thing I want to be most proud of at the end of my life, not everything else. These are the kind of people Jesus would hang with, hallelujah. And he might even have them deliver a message to someone else. You never know. But we are obligated, as Christ says, not to do what we feel, but to do what he calls us to do. Amen? And it's all in his book. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Isn't that a sign of obedience? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I was reminding myself that when they had him on the cross, I bet you they had to look up at his feet. So the same feet of Jesus that Mary was sitting next to would eventually be put on a cross, and people would look up to those feet. And may we this year be found under the feet of Jesus, amen, in obedience to him. May we obey him. Listen to what he says. If you listen to what Jesus says and obeys him, it will save your life. Would you like your life to be lost or saved? I spent many years lost, and you know what? It's not the place to be. Hallelujah. It's the place to be found, amen, and loved and nurtured and cherished and brought into God's kingdom. Our last point this morning is this. Martha learned a lesson in the L word, love. She learned a lesson in love. Do you have someone you love? We have people we love, amen? I love my wife. We spend so much time together. I cherish her. I adore her. I just want to spend all my time with her, unless she has an attitude that day. Then I take a little break. But I have to tell you, there's so many moments, truly, when we love someone, it can come natural for us. But if we're not careful, a frightening thought can happen. There's so many moments that I needed to read my Bible and I didn't. I needed to pray to the Lord and I didn't. I needed to enter into worship and I didn't. When I'm sitting in my car and I can put his worship on anytime I want and I didn't. I was finding that many times in life I'm treating Christ like an obligation rather than a relationship. I needed to remember, I'm supposed to read my Bible. No, not supposed to. I get to, hallelujah. But there's so many times that we can't transfer Jesus to the bottom of the stack, amen? We need to keep him first and foremost. Our heart needs to be right. Jesus is not just a chore. He's not just an obligation. He's our love. He's our first love. It all flows from that. In fact, Scripture says he's our king. Paul states in Romans 12:9, love must be sincere. For some, it might be easy to do the motions of love. But let me tell you, God calls us to be authentic, real, and sincere. It requires time, concentration, personal growth, a committed heart. Amen. We want to be better sons and daughters of the living God, don't we? I want to be better. You know, one time I was thinking about it too. I actually used the Lord to end a relationship one time. I said, no, I'm sorry. This isn't working out. I have to go back to church. And you know what? I didn't 100% mean that. I just used it to get out of the situation. But you know what's so funny about that? The Lord took those words that I said, and he held me to it. He was not going to let up until I did go back to church. And that happened for me with Pastor Dave in 1999. But it's so funny because I actually gave idle words at the time just to fix a situation. The Lord will see us through to completion. Amen? Hallelujah. Gene Apple, he used to be the senior pastor of Central Christian in Henderson, Nevada. Gene Apple, he learned a godly lesson in love. He married Barbara. Barbara had a son from a previous marriage named Jeremy. And when Gene and Barbara got married, they also had two daughters of their own. But Jeremy came from Barbara's first marriage. And Gene decided he wanted to legally adopt Barbara's son, Jeremy, and make Jeremy his son. And the judge, when he was sitting in the chamber, he looked at Gene Apple and he said, do you take the responsibility of Jeremy as both your son and your heir? And Gene said, yes, I do. Then the judge looked to young Jeremy and said, Jeremy, do you take Jean as your father? And Jeremy hesitated. The room got quiet. And then, in a very special moment, Jeremy said, Judge, I do take him as my father. The girls were already biological children. Jean is already their dad. But Jean said, Jeremy, though, chose me. He is the heir to all I have. He made the decision to choose me. And with Jesus, we are adopted as sons and daughters, amen? Heirs to the kingdom of God. He chose us. He chose us. And do we choose him? We need to every morning, amen? Mary was learning the first real lesson in eternal love. And this is why she chose to do nothing more than believe in Jesus, listen to him, obey him, and be at his feet. Jesus is the greatest sign of God's love to all of us. Hallelujah. Like that day in Martha and Mary's little hangout, that little house, Jesus is right at the front door to all of our hearts. Amen. Waiting to come in, and we must choose him. We must rededicate our lives to him constantly. And how will we respond? So as we finish this morning, I wanted to mention this. What are we trying to say today? What is the whole point of looking at Martha and Mary? Because it's really fascinating. But it really is time to slow down and take time with Jesus in a greater, deeper, more committed way. Jesus, believe in him, love him, and obey him. Hallelujah. Don't get to the point where Jesus says to you, Ryan, Ryan, you are worried and upset about so many things. Wouldn't you rather him say, Ryan has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from him. Martha believed that Mary should have been serving Christ Jesus the way she was. She never realized that in her passion in that moment and that zeal to serve, she was actually neglecting Jesus. Isn't that crazy? She was actually neglecting him and all of her fervor to get it done. We never want to be that busy, amen, to neglect Jesus. Remember to serve Christ in all that you do. Invite him into your daily life. Pray him over your families. Don't let service become self-serving. Hallelujah. Let it become service to God Almighty. So if you would, we'll pray a prayer together. Does that sound good? Let's pray a prayer together as we close this morning. Go ahead and close your eyes and we'll pray this together. And just repeat after me. Lord, forgive me for not making you first. I reset. I need you back as king of my life. I repent of my old life. And I lay my life at the feet of Jesus, your only Son, your Savior, my Savior, who died on the cross and rose again. May my life rise with you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are in the network, amen. You are in the community. Go out and let's get Jesus in the hearts and minds of people that need to be here. Amen. And remember, if you're going to choose a Martha or a Mary path, be a Mary. Amen. Be found at the feet of Jesus, listening, obeying, cherishing, spending time with him. Praise the Lord. Let's spend time together. Amen. If you have any special prayer needs, please stay behind too as well. Because that's what the community is all about, God's family. God bless you, and let's enjoy some time together. Amen.